This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tony Cox. Most conversations about the fiscal cliff revolve around what people can do about it. Congressional representatives who can compromise, investors who can sell out before the end of the year, or taxpayers who can tweak their personal finances. But what about people who don't have anything to sell or much in the way of personal finances to even adjust? I'm talking about poor people, and particularly poor families with kids. Families like David Garcia's.
I don't make ends meet. As every penny is tight. I just don't make it.
If we go over the fiscal cliff and some government programs are cut, things will only get worse for poor people like the Garcia family. Chrissy Clark is a senior reporter with Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk, and she's here to talk with me about poverty, and particularly child poverty, in light of the fiscal cliff. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Let me ask this. Is today's poverty the same as it was in our grandparents' time? I mean, I know poor is poor, but is it the same?
Well, officially, the federal government started defining poverty in the 1960s, and the poverty line was the minimum amount of money a family needed to cover basics like food and shelter and clothing. But of course, over the years, our standard of living has changed. Mm-hmm. It's risen. So now there are things that aren't even included in that calculation, things like childcare, transportation to get to and from work, not to mention things like cell phones and computers that once seemed like luxuries, but more and more, these are things that are pretty much required for a lot of jobs and day-to-day life.
One of the things that separates poverty today, it would seem to me, from poverty before is you can have two working parents and still be in poverty.
Right. And that's where things like childcare and things like that really come into play, because it becomes this puzzle of how do I afford to have my kids taken care of while I'm out making enough money to actually have our family be above the poverty line.
Has poverty been on the rise among all races and ethnicities, or has one group been particularly vulnerable to increasing poverty here in this country?
Well, if you look at the statistics, they're pretty shocking. So African American and Latino children have the highest rates of child poverty, and that's been true for a while. For African Americans, it's been around 37% compared to about 22%, which is the national average. The poverty rate for Latino children is just over 34%. These numbers are from 2011 census data, the latest numbers we have. You compare that with white children, where the rate was 12.5%.
Do we know why this is?
There are so many factors. Part of the problem is once you're poor, it's hard not to be poor for generation after generation. So if you are a child born to parents in the bottom fifth of the income scale, you're more likely to stay at the bottom in the U.S. than you would be in countries like Canada, Britain, Germany, and France.
So why has child poverty been on the rise in the last 10, 11 years?
I think that one of the easiest ways to understand what's going on is to look at the forces driving child poverty and look at the forces pushing against it. And really, at any given moment, the child poverty rate is kind of a reflection of how those two things balance out. So in the early 2000s, child poverty hit a historic low, and that low was thanks largely to a strong economy. But since that 2001 low, child poverty rates have been on a pretty steady incline, mostly due to a handful of underlying forces. One big thing, and this is a big one, mm-hmm. is that across the country, people are facing stagnant wages while the cost of living rises. So many of the good-paying manufacturing jobs that have moved overseas mean that a lot of the jobs that are left for people who don't have a college education are really low-wage jobs in the service sector. These are minimum-wage jobs that often offer only limited part-time hours. They keep you in poverty even if you're working as much as you can, especially if you have kids. Take this young father named Curtis Tucker. He's 22 years old. He works at a warehouse outside Chicago and lives with his fiance and three sons. After a hard search, he found a job that makes $10 an hour. He works less than full-time, though he'd like to work more.
You know, I'm just, you know, struggling. I try to save because, you know, you try to save some money. And I really, really can't save, but I do what I can, you know, do what I can.
So Tucker's rent is $850 a month at a $10 an hour job that he's not even working full-time at because he doesn't have the hours. That means he can't really make ends meet.
This is not enough to support my family off of. Really, it really isn't. So I'm ready you know, I'm budgeting, super budgeting skills. You got to have the best budgeting skills in the world. And I think I've acquired them.
Is he typical?
He's very typical. And more people in poverty are working. They're not people who don't have jobs and yet still are in poverty. And what's kind of scary right now is that a lot of the programs that people like Curtis Tucker rely on, their future is in a lot of question as we head towards the end of this year,
the fiscal cliff. Those programs are going away if nothing changes.
Exactly. He can't afford health care for his children, so he relies on a state program. The money that funds that is mostly federal money, which might go away in some of these negotiations. A lot of the programs that poor families rely on are really at stake right now.
Chrissy Clark is a senior reporter on Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk.